Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth. Welcome to the Hucklebuck. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It's episode 740 of the Hucklebug. It ends in a zero.
It ends in a zero, but so don't be expecting anything.
Don't expect too much. That's going to be the theme of tonight's show.
Oh.
We refuse to be good.
Well, you know, one of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes where they set Gomer up with the homely Mary Grace, mm-hmm. and he thinks she might be the one for him.
Uh-huh.
Don't overexpect. Gomer, don't overexpect.
Uh-oh. Don't overexpect,
people,
guys. Don't be a
don't
Gomer.
Don't overexpect.
Don't be a Gomer. We will begin the show this week with a couple of very sad rips.
Oh, man, yes.
I mean, you know, I guess we had to assume that they would be coming eventually. First, we lost Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone.
Family Stone.
I don't know a ton about him.
Age.
I just know the songs.
Oh, well, I mean, the things that I know about Sly,
uh-huh.
Of course, growing up and the songs.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 70s, in the late 70s, he really got a bad drug habit. And
oh,
he was
yeah.
known for not showing up at shows and, you know, showing up and just running ravaged over the stage.
Yes.
And so he went into a long period of decline. And then people like Questlove
mm-hmm.
brought him back and said, listen to this man's music. He made the best music
yeah,
ever.
It is great. It's great
which
music.
To me is great music.
Oh,
and
for sure.
So he was always still around.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was starting to get a foothold and people knew him and respected him for the artist that he was.
Yes.
Great, not only with the Family Stone, but a great producer of other artists.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite song by Sly and the Family Stone?
Well, I do. And the 60s channel, which I love, has been playing a bunch. And there was one that I had totally forgotten about. My Lady.
Uh-huh.
My Lady. But forever and ever and ever, Everyday People will
yeah,
always
Everyday
be
People's
my favorite.
Mine, too, I think. I like Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself
that's
again.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But Everyday People not only has the great melody, but the lyrics that just make us all want to be friends.
Of course, let's just all be friends. Exactly. You know, that was what I like about their music is it's all very positive. And
exactly.
Kind of it's good stuff. Rest in peace, Sly. And then...
Yeah.
Brian Wilson, you guys. Brian Wilson, the last of the Wilson brothers of the Beach Boys. Hard to believe when you think about it that Brian is the one who lasted the longest. And he had a nice, good, long life.
Through.
Yeah, with all he went through, exactly. Brian, of course, was the writer of many of the songs that the Beach Boys sang. Not all of them, but many. But he was also, you know, like the production wonder kid. He was
so
talented at
arrangements. He had in his mind the melodies and the arrangements.
And all of the harmonies and everything. And
yeah, like I said on Facebook several times, the harmonies.
The harmonies, the harmonies, the harmonies. Oh, my goodness. I mean.
And he loved old bands like the Four Freshmen that did that doo-wop vocal.
Yep.
I bet he loved barbershop quartets.
I had three Beach Boys albums when I was growing up, and one of them was Surfin' USA, and I can't remember one that I can't remember, Surfin' USA, and that maybe just called Surf's Up, maybe the first one is just called Surf's Up, and then Surfin' USA, and then the third one was the Beach Boys Live, and you could barely hear them because the girls were screaming the whole time, but they did covers of songs by the Four Freshmen and those types of groups. It's good stuff.
Yeah, when my sis got married, mm-hmm. We had to split the record collection. She got all the Beach Boys albums because she had bought them, you know.
Right.
But I loved them.
Yeah, yeah.
I had singles, but she had the albums.
She got the albums.
There's so many. There's only one dud amongst the whole.
Which is the dud?
Kokomo.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I don't even know if Brian was a part of that.
No, Brian was not. Brian was...
But I don't even know how... Do you have a favorite? You know I do.
My favorite is God Only Knows, yeah.
Yeah, those, as Paul McCartney said this week, the perfect song.
Yeah.
That was the perfect song.
It's of beautiful.
Of course, mine will always be In My Room.
In My Room is also amazing speaks to me.
But I also have to say, I love the fun ones, Surfing USA and
yeah.
I Get Around. And,
Shutdown?
I love Shutdown.
Jack it up, finally gonna shut you down.
I mean, just great stuff.
I would like to read, if I may, I'd like to read a quote from Neil Young, who's, let's be honest, I'm not out here trying to be a Neil Young fan.
Right.
But he said something really beautiful about Brian Wilson that resonates with me. He said, he's like Mozart or Chopin or Beethoven or something. This music will live forever. There's very few writers I feel the emotional and spiritual contact with that I feel with Brian. That's what Neil Young said about Brian Wilson. And that's how I feel.
That's very true.
He writes He writes the music of the universe. Did we have a Beach Boys song in our, when we did the Golden Record? I don't think we did we?
I don't think so.
Oh, dear. We're going to have to revise the list now. Yeah. Something's going to come out and God Only Knows is going to go in, I think.
And, you know, I hope Neil's right. And in the future, there are kids growing up.
I think he is.
The Beach Boys?
Right.
What Beach Boys? I like the beach. Who are the Beach Boys?
Right. I hope so.
Everybody needs to know.
We should check it. We should check out YouTube after this to see if there's any of those young millennials and Gen Zs doing Beach Boys reactions. Rest in peace, Brian Wilson.
Yes.
The Beach Boys were pretty formative for me. I listened to a lot of Beach Boys growing up. So sorry to see you go, Brian, but Carl and Dennis will be there waiting for you. All right, let's do some shout-outs, you guys. Roar! And we will start. We're starting on Hucklebug.com.
Hucklebug first.
Yeah.
And we've got a shout-out from...
Dishy One!
You're so dishy.
You probably think this shout-out's about you.
And it is. You want me to take it?
Sure.
Okay, she says, ladies.
Hello.
Excellent show as always.
Thank you so much.
I have a binge watch for you, The Bear.
Ah.
I only started watching when I saw that it was filmed partially in my neighborhood, but it's well worth your time if you have Hulu. Well, let me tell you, Dishy, I know you've been away. So
that's right. Okay.
But I have watched, I'm caught up on The Bear.
Yeah, Beth's already seen it.
When it ended. Waiting for the new season to come out. And every season that it comes out, I say, I think I'm done with The Bear. I'm not going to watch it. And so I watch the first episode. And they pull you back in. I'm stuck in.
Yep.
The guy, the lead, Jeremy Allen White of The Bear, he's just mesmerizing.
I love his eyes. His eyes are just...
I love an actor that doesn't look like a movie star.
I do too. Yeah. I would agree with that. Thank you, Dishy.
And then the food. My God. The food.
I haven't even seen the food, so I'm looking forward to it. It's on my list. I am going to get around to The Bear. Maybe sometime soon. We'll see. Now, if we bounce over here to our Facebook page, we have a few more shout-outs over on the Facebook page. And the first one is on the episode, and it's from Doug.
We are the Doug.
We are the Starcher. This is in reference to last week. Doug told us he had been cutting back all the holly from his driveway. And he says here, My excellence in after pictures is only exceeded by my inability to take a before. For your consideration, Driveway Holly after. So if you click on this, you can see the Holly's been cut back quite a ways, except for because we didn't have a before picture, Doug. We don't know. And it also looks beautiful.
And also, Doug, is that a Twilight Zone reference? For your consideration.
For your consideration. It could be. Or it might be, you know, an Emmy reference. For your consideration. You may not know this, but when I lived in Los Angeles, there was always there were always videotapes.
Oh, yes. They always said for your consideration.
Exactly. Emmy tapes circulating around for your consideration. And then there'd be.
Well, you know, with me, everything comes back to Law and Order. The one where Jerry Warbach and Ben Bratt went to Los Angeles. Jerry found a dumpster full of tapes for your consideration. Well, he took them all home with him.
Good for him. I was going to say I maybe still have some in my collection, but I got rid of all my VHSs. And I'd find a way to get some of those. But I kind of lost my contacts by the time DVD rolled around onto the scene. All right, and then we go up to the missive, and we have a shout-out for Tina. Stand in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment. And she says, hey, guys, not had van. I'm thinking spell check you.
Yeah, or maybe she was, sometimes you can tap the microphone and speak. I know you can do it in text.
Said,
I don't know.
Hey guys, not had Vance to listen to last week yet, but we'll catch up on both by next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, Tina. We are the Doug, etc.
And he got it right when he said that asshole Vance never listens.
That's right. He doesn't.
That's J.D. Vance.
Tina. J.D. Vance, yeah. We all know who the... I don't know. Maybe Tina is not as intimately...
If I didn't live in the U.S., I wouldn't know who he was. He's just an afterthought to the world.
You know who he reminds me of? You know in the Looney Tunes cartoons, that Spike the dog has always got that little dog that's jumping around him and going, hey, Spike! What do you want? Spike, let's go here. Hey, Spike.
Hey, yeah.
That's who J.D. Vance is. He's that little shitty dog. That little shitty dog who just wants Spike's love and affection.
He's done nothing lately. I mean, he's just in hiding.
Yeah, well, that's where he belongs. Ugh, gross. All right, those are Tina, et cetera, et cetera, says,
oh, sorry, Doug, typo.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't have that one.
Oh, yeah.
I must not have refreshed my page. Well, thank you guys for your shout-outs. We appreciate y'all. Woo! For your consideration, best comments of the year. All right. Let's do our movies.
Okay, do I go first? Do you go
You
first?
Go first.
I go first. Well, I have a movie.
Yes.
And I had been waiting for this for about a week. I read about it, and I knew it was coming this past week. And went out immediately to watch it.
Okay.
It is a documentary that's on Netflix. It's a Netflix documentary. They made it. And it is called The Titan.
The Titan. Okay.
And it is about that submersible.
Ah, right. I did see that. I also watched my thing on Netflix.
Because I can remember when that happened.
I do too.
And what it put us all through, that there were these people underwater.
Right.
That they might be in a vessel that's losing oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just prayed for them. Well, if you pray.
Yeah.
We just hoped for them that they'd be okay. And then we found out there's no way they'd be okay.
Right.
And then we found out they weren't okay from
the
beginning. They
were definitely not okay.
This movie is not really what I was expecting it to be. But in another way, I think it's better than I was expecting.
Than what you were expecting. Okay.
Because, well, I knew that it was going to go into the man who built.
Yeah. The brains behind the outfit.
Yeah.
If you can call
his corporation was called Ocean Gate
Why? It's amazing how much of this is flooding back to me. It wasn't that long ago, though, was it? It was like 5 years ago or something.
No, it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was post-pandemic.
Why you have a company that's all one word and you end it with gate?
Yeah, that's very bright, is it? Yeah.
But, of course, total egomaniac. Raised in privilege, went to Princeton University. Yeah. Never had a bad day in his life.
Yeah.
Idolized people like Elon Musk. Getting a vibe here for people.
Yeah.
Anyone who disagreed with him in his business was gone immediately.
Right.
Getting a vibe here. But when it goes into how shoddy the construction of this craft was.
Yeah.
And how many people told him how bad it was.
Yeah.
And he would listen to no one.
No one, yeah. I kind of remember some of this stuff coming out at the time, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking that it might be a thing about, you know, them all ensconced in this little thing, and it would be very claustrophobic and very scary. But it's not that. It's just the egregious way in which he lived his life and had his business.
Yeah.
And no one ever said no to him.
Right.
And he got away with it. And it's, I just totally recommend it.
Okay.
But the one awful claustrophobic thing is the very, very first clip of the film when it opens up. It's being filmed by the people on the rubber raft.
Oh, God.
Going out by little rubber boat to the Titan to get on it. And they're so excited. And, you know, it just makes me wonder, these people were total, well, one of them worked for Stockton Rush. You know, how could he not know? But the others were millionaires. Why did they not research this a little more? Or does it not matter if you want to be an adventurer?
They just assume they're going to be taken care of. They assume it's no different than, you know, whatever other thing, I guess. But
it is totally, totally interesting. I mean, the reckless manner in which this craft was built will blow your mind.
Yeah. Well, video game controllers, I remember, right?
Yeah.
Video game controllers to do the submersing and all that,
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a shame. But also, it's not that... I mean, I feel like shit like that is not surprising with these rich people. And again, it's a good lesson in why no is sometimes a good thing to say.
Right.
Parents. Starts with the parents, of course. All right. You know, I have a movie sort of...
Okay,
I don't think it's technically, it's not a movie, and it's not, but it's not a TV show either. It's Mike Birbiglia's most recent release, one man show called The Good Life.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know you saw Sleepwalk with Me, I think you saw.
I did. Right?
Okay.
I did.
And he used to just be a stand-up comedian, and then he started moving into these one man shows, which are a lot more personal, and then there's a lot of funny stuff, but then there's also a lot of poignant and touching stuff. And so this one, The Good Life, is about him and his dad, and it's a slow burner, I have to say. My first real big laugh out loud was 17 minutes in. I actually paused it to see, because that's kind of how he likes to work. He sort of, you know, he starts slow, sort of ramps up, and then he'll get a head of steam going, and then there'll be a bunch of jokes. And then all of a sudden he cuts it back with some real deep, dark thing. Not dark like scary, but just, you know, emotional. It's good. I liked The Good Life, but I have to say, I think Sleepwalk with Me was better, I have to say.
Oh, okay.
I just, this one, you know, It's hard to pinpoint sort of why, but it's only an hour and 17 minutes, so you can knock it off pretty quickly. But I'm a big fan of Mike Birbiglia, and I enjoy his comedy, and I enjoy his take on things.
I would definitely check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. some of it's very funny, and some of it, of course, is, you know, sad, and some of it's poignant. There's some good stuff in there. It's about moms and dads and kids and all of that. So check it out. The Good Life. It's on Netflix also. Mm. And that's when I opened up Netflix. I'm like, ooh, The Titan. That one looks interesting. Well, that was the big ad.
And The Good Life, if you haven't seen the series, you might want to check that out.
There you go. There's also The Good Life. That's an old BBC series, right?
No, I was thinking, oh, The Good Place.
The Good Place. Sorry. That's also on Netflix. All right, what do we got next?
Well, we have something. Don't get excited, people.
No, get excited.
Well, I was going to call it Waiting for the Shoe to Drop, or the other shoe to drop, mm-hmm. but that was too long, so I called it Vet's Medical Adventure.
Right, I like that.
Which I haven't had another medical adventure, thank heavens.
So this is all part of the same medical adventure.
This is all part of the same, because... You know, I've been just back here doing what I do.
Yep.
Limping along, trying to do my best.
Yep.
Going to work every day. And
doing your PT.
Doing my PT. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the week, I kind of had a little panicked thought. Mm-hmm. And that panicked thought was, I've been home now, well, at that point, almost a month. Now it's been more than a month.
Okay.
And I have yet to get the first medical bill.
Oh, that's because you got Medicare now, girl.
From any place. And that's what I was thinking. You know, this is the first health care I've had since I joined up.
Right.
With Medicare and the supplement place. And so I asked my sister, but she has the advantage. So right. They're all balled into one.
Right.
And she says, oh, you know, they take care of all of that. And if I get a bill, you know, it's later and I pay it. And yeah. I just keep waiting and waiting and waiting.
Waiting
to see.
And waiting.
You know, when the company I work for used to offer a Medicare supplement, we don't mm-hmm. wait long anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I used to see all of these Part B explanation of benefits that you were sent. I've not gotten any of those, not gotten anything.
I think it takes little longer, probably especially with the dumb assholes that are in charge right now, it takes a little longer for everything to process through your insurance company you're on Medicare.
Yeah, I just keep wondering, you know, I'm happy right now for heaven's sake, but is the other shoe going to drop?
Did you get, you never had an ambulance, right? Or did you? Was there transport?
I did have an ambulance.
Well, I knew they came out.
From the ER to Princeton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there might, I feel like that's going to be like the one area where you might get some, but even that, like my mom's on Medicare and Medicaid. She had an ambulance thing. It was like $200. It was nothing. Mm. So I think you're going to be happy when the bills finally come, or more likely it'll be the ones that say, this is not a bill. And then it says at the bottom, you owe $0. I think you're going to,
I'll take.
Yeah. I think you're more likely to get those, but you know, I guess I shouldn't fill you with false hopes, but fingers crossed for you.
But fingers crossed, everybody. No hands on the monitor. Just fingers
crossed.
No,
God, we don't. Let's not do that for this.
Yeah,
that's a waste of hand on the monitor for sure. I think it'll be all right, though. Yeah, I think Medicare covers an awful lot, and you were there. You were not there that long, so I think you'll be all right. Okay. It's time for This Week in Science.
Science.
I was just gonna say. I feel like we should have I feel like we should have a bumper for it, which is silly. We've never done This Week in Science before. Why would
we
already have a bumper? She blinded
me with science.
She blinded me with science. All right,
Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
Listen to this headline.
Oh,
from a website called ZME Science. Scientists stunned to observe that humpback whales might be trying to talk to us, you guys. And I have a feeling if they are trying to talk to us, they're probably going to say, stop fucking killing us.
We're dying here, people.
We're dying here. Stop polluting the ocean. Stop fucking around in our homes. All right. I'll just read a little bit of the article. We've been looking for intelligent aliens for a while now, but according to a new study, we may have intelligent life willing to communicate with us right here on Earth, which is something I've said for a long time, actually. I'm all for exploring the space. I think we should do it a lot. But I also think we should be concentrating on our own fucking planet because there's so much stuff here that we haven't delved into yet. Right. Particularly when you consider that a significant majority of the planet is underwater, that's where we should be starting, is my feeling. Research at the SETI Institute, you guys, that's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. That's what SETI is. Researchers at the SETI Institute and UC Davis...
almost legitimate.
It's very legitimate. It was started by our dear friend Carl Sagan, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. I think Carl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Researchers at the SETI Institute and UC Davis have documented a striking new behavior in humpback whales. These whales, some weighing over 30 tons, are seen producing nearly perfect rings of bubbles that spiral to the surface. These aren't random puffs. The whales often blow them during close encounters with humans, and they seem to be watching what we do next. There's some amazing pictures here that reminded me of the movie Arrival. Remember how the aliens tried to talk to us in Arrival? Did you see Arrival?
Yes.
Okay. Where they have like the glass, and they're putting like the big sort of circles and stuff and all the weird symbols.
Well, you know, whales are intelligent.
They're very intelligent, of course. Yeah. Humpback whales are famous for their haunting songs, remarkable social skills, and one of the most sophisticated hunting strategies in the animal kingdom, bubble net feeding. In this technique, a group of whales dives beneath the school of fish. They then exhale a wall of bubbles in an upward spiral, creating a net-like barrier that traps the prey in a tight column. This behavior is both cooperative and calculated, using air as a tool, a rare trait among animals. Well, that's because most of them live up here. How are we going to use the air?
That's right.
But the newly observed bubble rings are something entirely different. So there's an overhead picture.
They've changed it up.
Exactly. Well, it's completely different. You move it around. This isn't the first time humpback whales seemed to reach out to humans. Humpback whales often exhibit inquisitive, friendly behavior towards boats and human swimmers. We've now located a dozen whales from populations around the world, the majority of which have voluntarily approached boats and swimmers, blowing bubble rings during these episodes of curious behavior. The problem is we don't really know what the whales are saying. In dolphins, bubble rings are often associated with play or social signaling. In this study, most of the whales blowing rings were alone, with the nearest object being a human or boat, not another whale. Observers reported calm movements, spy hopping, which is like peeking above. There's like they kind of peek up and go, are you guys looking?
They're by themselves. Hey, you go up and blow your bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of them peeks up. Did you see it? Did you guys see the bubble I blew? You should see. Oh, my God, though. You should see the rings. I am going to post. I will post a link. But it's just fascinating. And it also reminded me of a great episode of Drunk History with a story told by Duncan Trussell, just whacked off of his brain, and he tells a story about Carl Sagan, who I just mentioned, about how Carl Sagan started a study where he wanted his researchers to learn to communicate with dolphins, and he got really pissed off at them because he found out later that the researchers were trying to teach the dolphins English instead of trying to learn how the dolphins talked.
But pardon me,
Duncan Trussell, I believe that's his name, yeah.
Never heard of him.
He's a comedian or something. I don't know. I've literally only seen him on Drunk History.
Oh, okay. He's a guy who gets drunk.
I've seen him on Drunk History, and the other show I saw him on was, it's not even a show. It was like on, I don't know, like Comedy Central. What's Comedy Central's like late at night? Adult Swim.
Oh, okay.
There was a show on Adult Swim, a little short, like 15-minute show on Adult Swim, that I don't recall what it was called, but it was basically people talking about their experiences getting high as fuck. And so he was also on that talking about getting high as fuck. So that's apparently all he does. He's a professional drunk person.
Okay.
All right. My timer just went off.
Mine did too. We but it's are time in for sake, people.
It's perfect. We're ready for fuck-offs.
We are ready for fuck-off.
Fuck off, Donald Trump, on your birthday.
You awful person.
Piece of shit. Hope you die.
Yeah.
I know it's a terrible thing to say. Sorry, but
around the country today.
Oh my goodness!
There was one in Beefield. I wish I could have joined it.
I'm sure there was at least one in Bellingham. There was probably more than one. I think we're pretty good at keeping things, you know, singular. So I don't think we would have had various factions here and there. So
yeah,
but there was probably a little counter protest. But I would imagine the protest was
better,
much better. Who rules, Bet?
I have a new rule, and it comes from one of the rips of our week. On the day, I learned the afternoon at work that Brian Wilson had passed.
Yeah.
And so, of course, when I went out after work, turned on the radio to the 60s channel.
Yeah.
And that's where the DJ is Pat St. John. And he's a great guy, and he has a huge record collection. He plays some obscure stuff, but he plays a lot of the hits. Mm-hmm. But he was doing a tribute to Brian, and it was so beautiful. I drove around over the place to listen. He opened up his phone lines and let people call in.
Aww.
And say things from, you know, I met Brian once. Mm-hmm. And he was so kind. I met Brian once, and he said something to me that just cracked me up.
Yeah.
But things like, I have my ticket from where I was in high school, and I went to see the Beach Boys, and it was $1.75.
Wow.
and he played all the songs, but he played obscure stuff like Al Jardine back in the 70s after the Beach Boys were basically waning.
Yeah.
Put out an album, and he was the only, he got his only number one hit singing Help Me Rhonda. Mm-hmm. So on this album, he recorded Help Me Rhonda in a different way with a harmonica and a kind of beat. He played that. It was beautiful. And you could tell in his heart, he was bereft as well. Mm. But he just opened up his show and let anybody call and say hello.
That's nice. I bet they don't do that very often.
No, because I thought all of these things were pre-recorded.
That's what I thought. Listened to. But clearly not.
But he was there live and he let everything go. So thanks, Pat.
Nice. And my U rule this week is for John Stewart, ladies and gentlemen. We all know John Stewart.
We love John.
5 years ago, John Stewart and his wife, whose name I don't know, John and his wife Tracy, bought a farm in northern New Jersey. I'm trying to find out how big it is. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Anyway, 5 years ago, they bought a farm in northern New Jersey.
Oh, they
and this week, earlier this week, they cleared all of their approvals as necessary. It's a 12-acre farm. And according to Upworthy, John Stewart's beautiful 12-acre farm is now a safe haven for abused animals. That's what they did with their money. They bought a big farm, and they are using it to rescue animals. There's going to be cows, sheep, chickens, goats, turkeys, and of course more pigs, it says here, will be arriving at Bufflehead Farm. I don't think that's what they're calling it. I can't remember. They called it something, but I don't remember what they're calling it, but that's what I've always thought to myself. If I, you know, won the lottery or something like that and had unlimited income, what I would want to do would be to open an animal sanctuary. And John and his wife did it. They did it. So I wanted to give them a U rule. Thank you, John and Tracy, for taking care of the animals.
Yes.
We love and appreciate you. Woo. All right, man. This week went quick. I feel like we just started recording a second ago. It's crazy. That's our show this week, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to episode 740 of The Hucklebug. We love you. And we'll talk to you next week. Till that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Hi, we love you. Mwah. Mwah. That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.
Scout, you doing all right?
What?
So sometimes when you interrupt a cat while they're grooming themselves, they stop and look up at you with their tongue still sticking out.
I'm adorable. Busy here.
Yeah, exactly.